Let's take our Bibles out tonight and turn to John chapter number 15 tonight. John chapter number 15. I'll have you stand in a moment here. I want to first say thank you so much for this week. I appreciate those of you who have spent time in prayer and those of you who have come all this week long. Some of you could not make it, and I forgive most of you except for Chad for that. But the rest of you, I do forgive for it. And I'm going to listen to my own message on bitterness, and things will be resolved between me and him by the end of tomorrow. But I hope that the Lord has ministered to your heart. And my desire is to throw the raft in where God is already working. And God's Spirit is working here. And that's all we're doing, is jumping on board with what His Spirit is already doing here. And so I'm resting assured in my heart that before I came, God was working. While I was here, God was working. And after I leave, God will continue to work. And so in the end, God gets the glory for what is done. And I hope that over the past few days, you have walked in the Spirit. Those of you who were here on Tuesday and heard the message, I hope that you have known victory by walking in the Spirit, that you've tasted that, yes, I can win, or rather, He can win in my life. I can have victory. Now, you're going to find that Satan's going to battle awfully hard once you've learned this truth. He will try to deceive you, try to trick you, but do not stray from the simplicity that's in Christ. Do not stray from simple faith in what His Word says. Tonight we're going to be looking at another passage that is so important that we simply believe what God says. When we tell someone how to be saved, we simply tell them, just believe what God says. Don't try to think about it. Don't try to figure out. Don't look for feelings. Don't look for anything external. Just believe what God says. Most of us here, if not all of us here, have come to the conclusion that on salvation, God is right, and we believe it. But there are so many other areas in our Christian life that we take our experience and we start to judge them, and we put our experience upon God's Word rather than taking God's Word and making that the governor of our experience. I want us to stand tonight. We're going to be looking at John chapter number 15. We're going to be looking at a promise given regarding prayer. John chapter number 15. This conversation from John chapter number 14 all the way through John chapter 17 is the days, literally, a week, maybe and a half before Jesus is going to die. He has shared very much, many things with His disciples. He has taught them all about the kingdom, about the church to come, and all types of things. He shared so much with them, and yet here He's going to reveal intimacy. He's going to unfold some truths that are going to be basically my last words to you. And oftentimes when someone is about to die, those last words, maybe that dad would give that final advice, or that mom would say, you know, I regret this, but I want you to always know. And those last words carry so much more weight. And I want us to pay attention to the last words of Jesus as He has now probably left the upper room and is walking on His way through the vineyard. The Bible says in verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Notice verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Didn't we learn that on Tuesday? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I can't produce righteousness from this body on my own. The branch cannot do that. The Bible says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is not part of the message. This is free. Verse 6 is not talking about a person that gets saved, and because they don't live right, they are cast off and burned, the idea of cast off into hell. What it meant by burned was when the vineyard, the vine producing grapes, was not bringing forth fruit, it was a branch. It was a branch. They would say, well, we can't use it anymore. So they would burn it. The idea of this passage is if you don't abide, God says, I can't use you. Because I can't do anything in your life. You do it all on your own and you're useless to me. I have no use. I cannot use you. So the Bible here is saying that if we neglect abiding in Christ, we have little use. The Bible says in verse number 7, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice these next words. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I want you to read those words with me. We're going to read it out loud together. I want them to sink deep in our heart. I'll say, ready, begin. You say John 15:7, and then you read this verse with me. Ready, begin. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Tonight I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, Prayer, God's Answer is Yes. Let's bow in prayer tonight asking for His help. Father, my desire tonight is to see the mind changed. That our opinions, that what we believe would change to what You would believe. To what You speak is true. Lord, I pray for repentance, that we would turn from what we believed to turn to what You speak in Your Word tonight. I pray You'd radically transform our whole perspective on prayer. Dear Lord, lay a foundation tonight that would cause men and women here in this room to become fervent prayer warriors, that they would see prayer answered in their lives. God, You have given us a gift called prayer, and we are not using it. And I pray tonight that You would help us to have the tools needed to use this gift of prayer. Lord, I pray You turn Open Door Baptist Church not into a ritualistic praying church, just something to do, but ones that have prayer as part of their lives, but more than that, have answers a part of their prayer lives. We despise the idea, God, and You do too, of praying with no answer. Lord, we want to pray that You might hear us. We want You to hear us, God. You promised that. And I pray that You would stir hearts tonight. Lord, I pray against lies that Satan has created that is keeping us from praying. I pray that You would defeat those tonight. Lord, I give You glory. In Jesus' name I ask it with much thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to talk about tonight, God's answer is yes. That's the topic of my message. And I want us to understand before we begin that some things, that first of all, this message is meant to be foundational. I mean by that, there has been many thousands of books written on prayer and books that would probably explain many aspects of prayer far better than this preacher could. This message is meant to be a foundation, something on which you in your own life, through the Word of God, can build different parts to the building, can put up walls and windows and all types of things to build the house of prayer. But my goal tonight is to lay a foundation of prayer in our lives. Secondly, I want to mention that this preacher is not, like Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, press and reaching forth into those things that are before, I press toward the mark. What I mean by that is this. I don't mean to say that I am a perfect prayer warrior. By no stretch of the imagination do I pray always as I ought. Do I always seek the Lord as I ought? Do I have every understanding of prayer? This preacher has not arrived. I preach to myself tonight. Thirdly, I want you to know that throughout the message, it will be natural, some from Satan, some from the flesh, and some from just the spirit of wanting to know what's right, there will be objections. And I want to challenge you with those objections. I want you to hear the message tonight, and if there's something you say, but wait a second, what about this? I mean, this happened in my life, or I heard this from a preacher. My exhortation to you, let that drive you back to the Word of God. Let it send you to the Word of God to find out what is right and what is wrong in prayer. Oftentimes when you and I view prayer and when we've heard preaching on prayer, I can remember a time when I heard this from my Bible teachers at college, as well as from a preacher specifically, right when God was revealing some truths about prayer to me. Oftentimes we take our experience in prayer and we superimpose that on the Word of God. We start to come up with all different philosophies about prayer. And we take our experience. Well, I remember when God didn't answer this, and I prayed for years about this, and this happened in my life. And when I prayed for this, God did this, and when I didn't do this, and we all take our experience and we add it to the Word of God. And so then what we do by our experience is we allow our experience to change the Word of God. We don't see things clearly. We don't see it just as God has written it out. We see it governed by our experience. What it should be is not that we should govern the Word of God by our experience. We should govern our experience by the Word of God. You see, I have two choices. Choice A is for my experience to change the Word of God. Choice B, which is the right choice, is for God's Word to change my experience. Let me show you how often we change God's Word by our experience. I'm going to read some verses to you that I've written down here, and they're promises on prayer. In the New Testament, God revealed a lot about prayer, and He gave us promises. He gave us promises of salvation. He gave us promises about walking in the Spirit and overcoming the flesh. He gave us a promise here that is just as true. But listen what we often do, and by taking our experience and putting on prayer. Ask, and it might be given unto you. Seek, and maybe you'll find. Knock, and there's a chance it'll be opened unto you. That's how we really interpret the Word of God. We don't really believe because of our experience. Ask, and it shall be given. We don't believe seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. What we do in our mind, by whether we do it in word or maybe in action or in feeling, we say ask and, you know, probably, because we're doing basically what God wants, probably it'll be given to us. Knock and most likely it's going to be opened because, you know, God did mention a lot about prayer rather than taking it for what it says. We'll often say most things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing you shall receive. Most things. If I'm praying about something, most of the time God is going to do it if I believe. But sometimes He won't. That's not what the Bible said. You see how we take our experience and put it upon the Word of God rather than taking the Word of God and putting it upon us. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that I might do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's not what it says. That I will do. If ye shall ask for most things in My name, I will do it. That's not the verse. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye might have them. I know I'm repeating myself, but don't you understand what we do with prayer? We take God's Word, and we shove it down, and we exalt our experience. And this is backwards. One verse in James says this, ye have not, because God didn't feel like giving it to you. You have not because God just, you know, today wasn't a good day for Him. And today wasn't a good day for you. Try again tomorrow. He says you have not because you ask not. We do not think biblically. God would bring revival to this church if we would simply do this. Believe God's Word. Believe it. Believe everything about it and practice it in our lives. Believing it and saying, I believe that's true in my life enough to do it. Show me your faith by your works. You believe it, then do it. We would have revival here at this church. It would not be something we're saying, man, maybe God could send revival. We would be saying, God brought revival to this church if we simply believed His Word. But instead, you've heard preaching that says this. When you pray, God has four ways to answer. God has yes. God has no, God has something different, and God has wait. Raise your hand, honestly, if you've ever heard a message that has that idea into it, raise your hand. Several have. Show me in the Bible where God said that. Did you know the only times in Scripture, there are two instances, and I'll give them to you later in the message, but one premise is this. The only times in Scripture where God says no to prayer, there is always sin involved. Always. Otherwise, God says He'll answer prayer. And you might say, Brother Chris, who are you to say such a thing, how what God is going to do in prayer? I'm not saying such a thing. God is saying such a thing. I challenge you, look up every reference to prayer in the Bible. Every single reference, especially when He teaches you how to pray, when He gives you promises. Not one time does He say, I won't do it. I might do it. You maybe will get it. If it's a good day for you and if it's a good day for me. Every time He promises yes, but there must be, listen very carefully, conditions met. All the time, we understand that God's promises are always fulfilled based upon conditions. If I walk in the Spirit, guess what? The promise is I will not fulfill the lust of flesh. But if I don't do it, then I will fulfill it. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then God will come through with His promise. I will be saved. But if I don't believe, God doesn't come through with His promise. So what has happened to our Christianity is we don't believe God, so we don't fulfill the conditions. But if we would believe God, if there would be one man tonight that would say, I believe God on prayer. If there would be one lady tonight that says, I am convinced, I don't care what anybody else does, I don't care how they live their lives, I am convinced that when God says He answers prayer, and His answer is supposed to be yes, I am convinced of it. Well, they would be naive, Brother Chris. No, they would be people of faith. Simply saying, I believe God's Word. Well, Brother Chris, you said that there's conditions, and I want to give you the two conditions to where you can have in your life continual answers to prayer. And what I mean by answer, let me lastly say this, I mean yes. I mean that when you pray, you can find yes, 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 yes in every prayer that you pray. Is that possible? It is if you meet the conditions. Do we always meet the conditions? No. Brother Chris, do you always get every prayer request answered with a yes? No. You know why? Because sometimes I don't meet the conditions. But every time I meet the conditions, I get a yes. Every time I meet the conditions. But if I don't, I get no. So the only reason is if we don't meet the conditions. Let's look at the two conditions from John chapter 15 and verse number 7. How can I have my prayers answered with a yes? I want to mention something, one more thing real quick. This is, see how messages get bigger? Pastor already said. I mentioned this to the young people. I've been teaching in the morning on how to have a walk with God. Read your Bible. There's two issues. Some people just plain and simple don't want to walk with God. So I can teach them all I want, but it won't do a lick of good. But there are some people that want to walk with God, so for me to teach them how to, man, they soak it in. And that's what's going to be in this crowd tonight. Some of you don't care a lick about prayer. You don't pray at all. It doesn't even cross your mind. It's just something, and sometimes maybe you do it because of the pastor calls upon you, but you don't care at all. There's no such thing as prayer life in your mind. You don't care at all. That's a hard issue that this message is not addressing necessarily, but you need to get right with the Lord tonight. You ought to be praying. But there are some of you that say, I desire to pray. I desire to have God answer my prayer request. This would be for you tonight, so I pray you listen. Two conditions. First of all, abiding. Secondly, asking. The first condition is abiding in Christ. The second condition is asking from Christ. I want you to know John chapter 15. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That is the condition. We don't see the word then ye shall, but that's the idea. If this happens, if this is fulfilled, then this will happen. We're not going to get to the answered prayer yet. We're going to talk about the condition first. The first condition is this, abiding. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Abiding, first of all, is communal. First of all, it's communal. What do you mean by communal? I mean, the word commune comes from where we think of the word communication. It means to share in relationship, whether it be through word or in thoughts or in actions or in money. The Bible often speaks of having your communication in church means share with one another. It means having a close relationship. I want you to understand tonight that the heart of prayer is your relationship with God. And some of you do not fulfill that condition. You don't have a relationship with God. You don't abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what it means to open up His Scriptures and things to speak in your heart. You don't have times of confession before the Lord. Praise doesn't come from your mouth. There is no relationship because of some rebellion, maybe unyieldiness or some unholiness in your life. Something in your life you are not abiding in, so mark it down. You won't get answers to your prayer. Well, Brother Chris, I can remember times when I wasn't right with God and God answered my prayer. That was His mercy, not His promise. Oftentimes, God does answer prayer. Does Brother Chris, does God answer the prayer of the lost? A person has asked me before. He's not obligated to according to His Word. But oftentimes He does because He's a merciful God. And He wants to teach them Himself. You see, the reason why, though, most of us don't have answered prayers in our life is simply because we don't abide. We don't have a relationship with God. There is no twofold communication going on where God speaks to my heart on a daily, continual basis where I am walking in the Spirit and knowing the fruits of the Spirit. I am abiding the branch abiding in the vine. It ought to be in my life, abiding is me staying plugged in to the branch. Backwards. Plugged in, I am the vine, you know what I mean, don't you? Good. This part of the tree and this part of the tree, okay? This is Jesus. We ought to stay plugged in. And the idea is this, that God wants to produce fruit in your life. And the only way it's going to happen is as the tree stays buried into the ground and the tree absorbs the sap comes through and produces the fruit in your life. That's what abiding is. Learn what abiding is. Learn intimacy. Learn communion. Learn fellowship. Learn thirst. Learn hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. But listen to me very carefully. The number one reason why people do not have their prayer requests answered is because they're not abiding. They're not abiding. I want you to notice, first of all, abiding is communal. Secondly, I want you to notice it's continual. It's continual. Oftentimes, this word abide has several other places where it is translated, and it has the idea of living, dwelling, resting, and waiting. The root word behind abide is the word persistency. You see, our communion with the Lord is not to be a communion with the Lord on Sunday morning, a communion with the Lord just on Sunday night. Or you know when I get right with the Lord? It's at the Lord's Supper. Because I know if I take the Lord's Supper, why not be right with God? Then I know there's judgment. So I just wait and wait and wait. And then boom, I let it all out and I get right with the Lord. You know what happens in our lives? Our walks with the Lord, for some of us, are so sporadic, there's no chance we're going to be abiding in the Lord. You see, abiding is not just one decision. Okay, I came forward and boom, I'm done. I'm abiding. Boom, I'm done forever and ever. It's a continual decision to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, to desire to be yielded to Him so that He might transform me on a daily basis. It is desiring to be in His Word and His Word living in me. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that all of God's Word is living in my life continually. You see, but some of us here, yeah, there's moments of getting right with God. There's moments of abiding, but you don't know real answers to prayer because there's not continual abiding. Did you know, church, I want you to know something, ma'am, sir. You can continually abide. You don't have to wait for the next revival meeting to start to walk with God again. It's not like when, oh, the revival meeting's over, I guess we go back to our normal self. You can remain abiding in the Lord. How do I remain abiding? I continually keep my eyes upon Him. I am walking in Him. I am wanting Him to do what I cannot do. I am craving Him. I am thirsting for Him. And anytime He shows something in my life, I am yielding to Him. I am allowing His influence in my life. I want you to notice abiding is first of all communal. Secondly, it's continual. But lastly, it is conditional. You see, prayer, if it's unanswered, it's our fault. Oftentimes when we pray, and everyone in this room has probably done this, when we pray for something and it does not happen, we say, it must not have been God's will. We've done that many times, but did you know when you say that, you are doing two things. One, you're excusing God, because we can't say God doesn't answer prayer. So we're going to excuse God as if it was will, and we're excusing ourselves. I don't have any responsibility on my part. You see, this abiding is the condition. That if I'm abiding, God says, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. That is the condition. So if it's not being done, you cannot say, well, the condition was God. It was God's fault. I prayed, but the condition really hung with God, or whether He not wanted to answer it. Oftentimes we use as sometimes it's a good thing to say, well, it wasn't God's will, or it is God's will, and to pray according to God's will. But oftentimes we in our carnal selves use the idea of God's will as a way to cover up for our unabiding selves. We're not walking with Him. And then when He doesn't answer, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Rather than saying, wait a second. He promised. He promised that He would answer. And so when I turned that faucet, as I've mentioned before, He said that if I turned the faucet, something would come out. Prayer, the answer would come out to my prayer. But it's not coming out, so there must be something wrong. It can't be something wrong with God. He promised He would answer. It's not just this time the water just happens to not be flowing. He didn't turn it on the back pipes this time. No, it's a matter that something is wrong inside the pipe. And it's never God's fault that there's something in the pipe. It's always my fault. And so listen very carefully. Anytime you pray and you're praying about something and you don't get an answer of yes, always look back to your abiding. Well, wait a second, Brother Chris. I want to explain that. Well, wait a second. What if I'm praying for something right? You see, abiding in Christ, if we're not abiding in Christ, rather, it can do one of two things. It can either hinder a prayer that is right, or, listen very carefully, it can be producing a prayer that is wrong. Listen to that again. If I don't abide in Christ, it can either, one, hinder a prayer, block a prayer that is a godly prayer. I'm praying for my loved one to be saved. I'm praying for revival in His church. I'm praying for God's help over this sin. That is a godly prayer to pray. But if you're not abiding, guess what? It's going to be blocked. Guess what else though? Oftentimes, if we're not abiding with Christ, our very desire is wrong. And the Bible tells us in James, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes we have not because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. And oftentimes we think that word lust means, oh, absolute wickedness. Our lust means our desires. You see, when I'm not abiding, whose desires are governing? Mine. I have nothing left to govern my own will, my own desires, and that's what I pray, and they're not going to be answered because it's not God's will. But if I'm abiding, you know what God's going to do? God's going to govern my desires. I'll give that to you in a second. First condition, you must be abiding. Let me ask you this tonight, sir, ma'am, front or back, are you abiding? You can answer right now a yes or no. There should be nobody in this room that is saying something, well, I don't know. I mean, someday, I hope so. No, no, no. You can answer either yes or no. There's no middle ground. I either yes, as best I know how, I am yielding to His Spirit. I am trusting in Him. I am wanting to be right with Him. I am craving Him. I'm trying to be obedient in every area. I am trying to walk with God. I know my heart's direction. I'm abiding with Him. There's some people that can say, Brother Chris, as best I know, I'm abiding. But there's many here tonight that says, I'm not abiding. Well, mark it down. You might hear all the instruction on prayer, but you won't have anything answered. The first condition is abiding. The second condition is simply asking. Abiding in Christ and asking from Christ. Notice what he says in John chapter number 15. If you abide in me, and the idea is if my words abide in you, that's abiding, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But notice the between abiding and it being done, there's something called asking. Now, I want you to listen to something very carefully. What does it mean to ask? What does it mean to pray? Well, that's a dumb question. I know, but many of us get this answer wrong. We don't know what it means to ask. We think, let's turn actually back to this passage. Keep your place here and turn to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11 tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Let me read the first verse as you're turning there. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Here's what happened. Jesus was praying and his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, guys, don't you understand that you automatically know how to pray when you get saved? The moment you get saved, it's just natural. It comes to you. You don't already know how to do it. No, that's not what Jesus did. He said, okay, I will teach you. You know what that makes me understand? Many of us here need to be taught how to pray. And this teaches us principles about prayer. But I want you to notice so very, very important. And again, I say, if anybody here has preached what I'm about to say, I'm about to disagree with, please forgive me. Please let it not be a representation of whether we ever get to come back again. So, anyways, here in this next verse, the Bible says, and he said unto him, when you pray, say. This is not a prayer to be repeated. This is a prayer to be a model of what principles should be there. When you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as is heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, here's what happens. Oftentimes when we're taught prayer, and I think the heart behind it, and I think you can pull these principles from other places, but what we do here is we come up with a magical formula. Step one is praise. Step two is confession. Step three is asking. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I just don't think that's what's occurring here. What do you mean, Brother Chris? It looks like in verse number, it looks like my pages are flipping here again because Pastor turned the fan up. Verse number two, it looks like Jesus is praised. He's saying, praise the Father. I want you to notice something here. He says, our Father which art in heaven, he's addressing him, hallowed be thy name. Chad, give me a glass of water, would you? Now, wait, stop. That was a joke. That was staged coughing. Did I do all right? Thank you. Okay, here's what happened. This word right here, hallowed be thy name, is an imperative. But it's an imperative. That means it's a command. But it's a command that has the idea of a request. When I said, Chad, get me a drink of water, that means, The idea, I could have said, Chad, could you please give me a drink of water? But when I made that command type of request, it meant that it was so important to me. Chad, get me a drink of water. It's urgent. That's the idea. This command here is not him saying, God, I just want to praise you. It's a request. He's saying, God, I want you to be holy in my life. That's what he's saying. I want your name to be hallowed in my life. These are requests. He said, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's what I desire. Your kingdom to come and thy will to be done. You see, he starts off by saying, I want to ask. You're going to find that verse number 2, all the way through when he's done speaking in verse number 13, is loaded with this. Ask, 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 ask. What is praying? It's asking. The word pray means ask. Give me, I have a horrible British accent, give me a cup of water, I pray thee, or something like that. That was, I don't know what country that was from. But that idea is, I'm requesting something of you. Now wait a second, Brother Chris. I was taught that prayer involves confession, and prayer of all involves thanksgiving. Listen very carefully, this will help you so much. Thanksgiving and confession have to do with abiding. That's my relationship. I'm maintaining fellowship with Him through confession, and I'm enjoying the relationship with Him naturally through praise. Now, oftentimes we will get on our knees and give praise, and there's nothing wrong with that. Oftentimes we'll get on our knees and confess our sins, and there's definitely nothing wrong with that. But my point is, if you want to know at literally what do all the promises of prayer have to do with, it has to do with making requests to God. Do not be afraid to request of God. Do not be afraid. Some people say, oh man, if you all you do is ask, then you're viewing as God as a genie in the lamp. That's all you're doing. Now, I can't judge your heart and why you're asking, but let me tell you why I'm asking all the time. Because I know I have nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. Who else am I going to ask? I need help over this sin. I need these finances. I need this fixed. I need this in my marriage. I need. And guess what? For all of eternity, I am the needy one. He is the all-sufficient one. Don't let anybody say, oh, your prayers are too loaded with asking. If your prayers are loaded with asking, to me, your prayers are loaded with faith. And you understand, I can't do it. God can do it. So understand tonight, be bold in asking of God. If you all the time only praise and only confess, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to get anything answered because you did not ask. You have not because you ask not. Very simply put, prayer is asking. If you want a great book on this, John R. Rice's book called Prayer, Asking and Receiving, I'd recommend it to anybody. It was the book that had the second most influence on my life. The first one is called The Threefold Secret of the Holy Spirit. Write that down. If you want to talk about it later, you can. Take that, Brother Sean, from the message. That meant nothing. All right, here we go. The first of all, asking. What is asking? It means to request. Secondly, how do we ask? Secondly, what do we ask for? Well, Brother Chris, you're saying, I'm supposed to just ask. Well, then I'm going to ask for a Dodge Viper tonight. I'm going to ask that tomorrow my house is completely paid off. I mean, Brother Chris, you're promoting this health and wealth and demon-free type of gospel that I could just pray and all of a sudden, Lord, I pray that those chairs would turn red. Poof, it's going to happen because you said it's just asking. My point is this. There are certain things to ask for. What should we ask for? I want you to notice what the Bible says back in John. God tells us what to ask for. First of all, we should ask for sincere requests. First of all, sincere requests. Notice what he says in John 15. If ye abide in me, now let's trust God at what he says, all right? I want you to follow along with me. Please follow very carefully because I'm going to misread this verse on purpose. And if you don't catch it, you either got the wrong version or you're not paying attention. So pay attention here. Yep, that's you. I'm talking to you. Yep, you. Okay, verse number 7. If ye abide in me, good so far, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what God wills, and it shall be done unto you. Did you see what I messed up on? This verse shocks me. If you're reading this for the very first time and have no previous knowledge about anything in the Christian life, you would expect, you shall ask what God wills, and it shall be done unto you. But here, God grants to you and to me an amazing privilege. He said, Brother Q, ask what ye will. He said, Brother, ask what ye
will. Now, what does ye will mean? The idea, it's actually a Hebraism. That means it comes from a Hebrew expression. It's the idea of whatever you delight in. Now, wait a second, Brother Chris. I can ask for whatever I delight in. I want you to know, I delight in that Dodge Viper you just spoke about. I delight. The drool's running off my mouth. I delight that much in a Dodge Viper. The idea of delighting is delighting because of my abiding. You see, the idea is this, that if I am abiding in Christ, and really I say, God, not my will, but thine be done. And I say, God, I yield myself to you. I want what you want, God. I want your word in my heart. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. I want to thirst after you. You know what happens? As I'm abiding, as I'm the tree plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? The Holy Spirit flows through me, quote unquote, and He produces fruit in my life. And one of the fruits He produces are something called desires. Let me tell you a little secret that I haven't told many people. Do you know how I knew what I was supposed to preach tonight, last night, the night before, in all six services or whatever it was? Well, you were praying and all of a sudden something popped in your mind or a letter fell down or as you were flipping through the Bible, that passage. Nope, I'm going to tell you something. I wanted to. Well, wait a second. Aren't you taking your will into your own hands? I mean, God's will into your own hands? No. I'm abiding in the Lord. And He's going to put upon my desire. He's going to put upon my heart. My desires are going to start to crave something and start to want something. And so you know what you should be praying for? You should be praying for the sincere desires of your heart. Don't be fake with God. Look at what David prayed. David was brutally honest with God. He said, God, you have left me hanging. You have forsaken me. I am at the bottom of the barrel. My enemies are overthrowing me. You know how we pray? Dear God, I pray that your will be done. Dear God, I pray that, you know, you would do something here. David said, God, my desire is you're gone. I don't know you. Where are you? You're not saving me. God, David would be honest with God and give his sincere desires of his heart. Well, Brother Chris, what do we pray when someone is sick? I mean, when somebody has got cancer or someone discovers something in the body, how should we pray? I mean, do we automatically pray for them to be healed? Well, the Bible reveals to us in Romans chapter number 8, talking about when there are infirmities, it says sometimes we don't know how to pray for as we ought, especially in the areas of sickness. You ought to be very discerning as you're by the Lord. Lord, do I pray for their healing? He will govern your hearts. Ask Him, Lord, I want to pray what you want. Lord, do I pray for their healing? Sometimes He'll say yes, and when He does, you pray with all your heart because He said yes. Sometimes He might say, well, I'm chastening them. Sometimes they might say, I'm not going to tell you why, but I'm not going to make that a burning desire upon your heart. It's all hinging, though, listen, upon abiding. If I have a desire in my heart and it's not answered, you know what the truth is? I'm not abiding. It might be a wrong desire. Or it might be a right desire, but God can't answer it. It all goes back to my abiding. We need to be asking for what the sincere request of our heart. Be transparent with God. Be honest with God. Don't try to fluff it. Don't try to think that He doesn't know every desire of your heart. Pray if you are abiding for the desires of your heart and pray boldly. He said, ask what ye will as long as you're abiding. I want you to notice, secondly, what do we pray for? We pray for sincere requests of our heart. Secondly, we pray for specific requests. You don't always do this, but this is the mandate of God in fulfilling this promise here. He says this in verse number 7, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The thing specifically that you ask for, that is what's going to be done for you. Listen very carefully. Specific prayers show a big God. General prayers show a little God. General prayers have no validation. General prayers, how do we know if God answered? Let's say that Chad was my God. Let's pretend that I worship Chad. Use your imagination. I worship Chad. And I believe that my Chad was a prayer-answering Chad. This is funny. He's a prayer-answering Chad. And I said, let me tell you tonight, my Chad is going to do something. I'm going to pray that my Chad gives me a good day. Okay? So I get up in the morning and say, my Chad, I pray you give me a good day. Now, we know Chad has no ability to influence that in my life. We know that. He's a false God. He's a horrible God. And He cannot answer that in my life. So I'm praying to Chad, Chad, give me a good day today. And I go through the whole day, and then I go to bed that night, and I look over my day. Well, I didn't get in a car wreck. Didn't lose my job. I guess Chad answered my prayer. You know what's happened? There's no accountability. There's no proof. There's no faith. It takes no faith to pray generally. It takes all the faith in the world to pray specifically. If I were to go in this next morning and said, I'm going to pray to my Chad and say, my Chad, these are the desires of my heart. I'm struggling with this sin. These are the desires of my heart. You know we desire this in our life. And you know what? Chad has no power to do that. You know why? Because Chad is a limited person. A specific request shows a great God. Mueller said, I want to establish my orphanage and pray so that the world knows there's a big God. I want you to notice, I skipped over something. I want to answer a question. My mind just jumped back to it. Some people often say, well, what about what Paul prayed? Paul prayed for the thorn to be gone. Wasn't that the sincere desire of his heart? My mind is going back to sincere requests. Please forgive me on that. But in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, Lord, I besought thee thrice. I asked for this to be done. That was his sincere desire. Why wasn't it answered, Brother Chris? Actually, it was. Here's what happened. Stop it. I didn't mean to say Brother Chris. Okay. Why wasn't it answered? He said, Lord, I desire for this thorn to be gone. And you know what God did? God did something in abiding. God communed with him. And God said, Paul, if I take away that thorn, you know what you lose? You lose my power. Paul, in abiding, learned something, and Paul changed his prayer. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was saying, take away this thorn, take away this thorn, take away this thorn. And in abiding with God, God said, if I take away that thorn, you'll lose my power. Do you want that, Paul? Paul said, no, God. If I get power from thorns, give me more thorns. He changed his prayer request. What about the Jesus in the garden? He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. What about that, Brother Chris? When he prayed for something, it wasn't answered. That's debated. If you read John R. Rice, he says, according to Hebrews chapter 2 or chapter 3, Jesus' prayer was actually answered. He takes it to mean that Jesus was not praying, I don't want to go to the cross, but Jesus was saying the anguish was so heavy, God, if you don't intervene, I'm going to die in the garden. And God intervened by sending ministering angels. Something to chew on. But anyways, back to what we were talking about. Sincere requests, and secondly, specific requests. What you ask for is what you will be given. Don't make it in your life, I have to be specific. Every time, I have to be. But as I'm abiding, if it comes to a specific area, be specific about it. Sometimes it's specific regarding finances. Sometimes it's specific regarding something material. Sometimes it's regarding emotion. Sometimes it's regarding our mental ability. Sometimes it's regarding something directly spiritual. But be specific in your prayer request. Try to avoid being general. I want to give you an illustration that I think will help you. My favorite prayer request that God ever answered in my life, besides my wife. So, I was at Pensacola Christian College. I'm sorry I'm going long. This story is meant to make you feel like we haven't gone very long. So, it's a kind of light and fluffy and all that type of thing. So, I was at Pensacola Christian College and I was a floor leader. And as you're a floor leader, there's you and another guy are in charge of three wings on a dorm. There's one north and west and east. Yeah, that's right. And we would be in charge every night of checking the rooms to make sure the guys' rooms were how they should be and they were in bed and all this type of stuff. Well, at about 10:55, bedtime there is at 11, and at 10:55 I was up cutting someone's hair and I was talking to this guy named John about prayer. And he was saying, no, Brother Chris, God answers however He wants. And I said, then why pray? God's going to do what He wants anyway, so why should I pray? I'm wasting time if God's going to just, quote, do whatever He wants. And we go back and forth, and I was convinced that God answers prayer as I call upon His name. The bell rang, and I ran downstairs. I was supposed to start at 11. I was running a minute late. I ran inside there, grabbed my clipboard, and I shut the door. And as soon as I shut the door, it's quiet in the hall, my stomach began to growl because I was hungry. And I was hungry because all day long I had ran this teen activity out in local church, and I didn't eat anything for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Now it's 11 o'clock at night. I was starving. And so right then in that moment of anguish, as Esau, I'll give you my birthright. In that moment of anguish, I prayed. And I said, God, I'm doubting You answer prayer, and I'm hungry. God, would You please give me a piece of pizza? That is what I prayed. Out loud, Lord, I pray you get, no, I, this time wasn't a lie. I prayed to my Lord, give me a piece of pizza. And then it was the Holy Spirit in abiding. I know it. The Holy Spirit said, be more specific. And it wasn't like these words came to mind. It was just a desire in my heart. And so I said, Lord, I pray for not on-campus pizza, because there was a pizza facility that what they would do is they squirt ketchup on a piece of cardboard and they'd pass that to you. I said, Lord, I want the good stuff. Off-campus, the chain pizzas. And I pray, Lord, give me off-campus pizza. Now, there's a couple things that I did not think about in that prayer. And that was this. The campus closed at 11. And secondly, you weren't even allowed to have pizza delivered to the campus. You had to go get it yourself. So I didn't think about that. And this is a point. When you're praying, don't try to figure out how God's going to answer. You know, what I did, and I did what most of you would have done if you prayed the same thing. I was supposed to check on the dorms. I opened up every single door, and I was like, maybe I was thinking. I didn't care if they were hanging off the chandeliers. I didn't care what they were doing, swinging like monkeys. I was looking for an empty, a half-empty box of pizza. I thought I knew how God was going to answer my prayer. So I went door and, hey guys, how you doing? No pizza, see ya. And I went door to door and all the, down these 9 rooms or 12 rooms, whatever it was. And I remember I came out my wing, and about that time my partner should be coming out his wing and we would check the final middle wing together. Well, I came out that middle wing and he wasn't there. And as I'm walking to the north wing, I began, and this, you're gonna, might laugh at this, but I began to get teary-eyed over pizza. You weren't supposed to laugh at them. Leave it to your wife. So I began, because I thought, Lord, it wasn't an issue of pizza. I said, Lord, I know you answer prayer. God, this man that I was talking to, I know he meant well, but he's put doubt in my heart. And God, I beg you, please hear me for this piece of pizza. I want it. So I went down. Pizza. This is getting out of hand, Pastor. You might want to yank it right now. Go ahead and open the trap door. So anyways, I went door to door. I again went down every door. When I got to the very last door on the left, I opened the door. And I'm going to be honest with you, there was nothing. When I walked in that final door, I walked in there and the guys were there. And as I was initially going in for pizza, immediately a guy said, how did the team thing go today? And I said, oh, it went great. We had some people saved and the pastor was encouraged and this happened and that happened. I was telling him all about it and going on and going on. And finally, I was supposed to be down by 11:15. I got talking to them and about what the things the Lord had done. It got to be 11:22, 11:23. And I looked on the clock and I had totally forgotten about everything. And I just said, I got to get downstairs. I'm sorry, guys. And I went running down the hallway, opened up the door, and I was on the third floor and I pressed the elevator button. As soon as I pressed the elevator button, the door dinged. And there stood my partner with one of his good friends, Greg and James. And they said, Chris, would you hurry up downstairs? Our boss, and if you knew my boss, you would understand the miracle. He has ordered 30 Papa John's pizzas. And they're sitting down there with soda and everything. Now, that never happened. I was a floor there for 4 years. I never once got pizza another time. It wasn't like, hey, you prayed on Friday night. You knew we were getting pizza. Good idea. No. My point is, God knew. And you might say, Brother Chris, if you prayed right now for pizza, would you get pizza? No, I wouldn't. You know why? Because that's not the sincere desire of my heart as I'm abiding in the Lord. But there are things in my life that are the sincere desires of my heart as I'm abiding in the Lord. There are things in this room that is the sincere desires of your heart. As you're abiding in the Lord, these are things that you're groaning for. These are things that you're longing for. These are things that are constantly weighing upon your mind. And God says, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We should ask sincere, specific requests. What is prayer? It is asking, what do we ask for? Sincere and specific requests. Lastly, how do we ask? And I'm finished. We ask, and I'll give it to you very quickly, based upon a fresh relationship. Meaning in John chapter number 15 and verse number 16, Jesus said this, ye have chosen me, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. He didn't ordain them to salvation, he ordained them to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Ask based upon he is your Father and you are his child. He has designed it and called himself, I will be the Father, you will be the child. And just like any person here that is a parent that has any inkling in love, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? And so ask on that basis, God, you're my Father. I'm your child. And I and the people around me in this church, we're in need from you, Father. We're not doing well as your children. I need you, God. Ask based upon
your fresh relationship, that He's your Father, and ask based upon faith. I want you to notice one last thing, and I'm done. Verse number 7 says this, last few words, and it shall be done unto you. If you don't believe it, as Brother Prettyman instilled in my heart over and over, if you don't believe it, I don't think that's going to happen, it won't. If you don't believe it and say, I just don't think that. Brother Chris, I know these experiences in my life. Don't judge by experience. Judge by the Word of God. Say, God, You said it shall be done, and claim it. Believe it and walk in faith, believing He will do it. Right now, if you were to pray for something, would you get it? When was the last time, sir, you received an answer to your prayers? If you could write down the last prayer request over the last month, how many have been answered? Is it a matter of I've been praying, but I have not been abiding, so I have not getting any answers? Or is it a matter of I've been trying to walk the Lord, but I haven't been asking at all? If I don't ask, I will not receive. You see, the only hindrance to prayer is sin. That is it. God says, I will answer as long as there's abiding. And if you're abiding, you'll be asking. You'll be asking for God, and He will do it. I challenge you tonight, don't believe me. Don't latch on to Brother Chris's message. Believe God. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate your attention tonight. I know I went long, but I really wanted to communicate the foundation of this truth and the truth that can set you free. Let me ask this question tonight. Who would say, God spoke to my heart, not in a way necessarily of conviction, though that may be true, but I'm aiming tonight, God did a work in my mind. He changed my perspective on prayer. He changed what I thought. And I want to give testimony, a raise of hand, that God has changed my heart. I believe God in what He's spoken to me about. Would you raise up your hand so I can see it tonight? My heart rejoices. My heart rejoices tonight more than an altar full of people. My heart rejoices in people that in their mind have repented. I've seen that I've been wrong in what I think about prayer. And I see that you've been right. Let me challenge you this tonight in our invitation. There are many needs tonight. And tonight, in a moment when you are abiding and you have faith right now, the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What he meant by that is, I believe right now, but I know, God, there's times when I don't believe. And right now, many of you believe, I know God answers, now would be the time to pray. And I'm going to invite us in a moment, as soon as I finish praying, to come. And there's many needs here tonight. Some personal, some in our family, some situations, but it is the desire of your heart right now as you're abiding in the Lord. And maybe some of you are not. You can right now confess, God, is there any sin? Show it to me. And if you deal with it and let Him deal with it, you'll be abiding. And as you abide, ask, and it shall be given to you. And I want to invite you to come and pray about it tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I rejoice in the fruits of Your Word. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that people changed. You did a transforming work. They yielded to Your Word. We saw it right in front of our eyes. You, as people yielded, You transformed. I pray, dear God, that we would latch onto this with all our heart. When answered prayer does not come, help us to look at abiding or asking. Help us not to look at You as if You're resistant or You've got something on Your shoulder or there's some disposition towards us. You said, I will answer. Call unto Me. I will answer. Lord, help us to abide and help us to ask. Please bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask my wife to play. Maybe there's something right now in your heart. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? Some are already coming. On my heart, Brother Chris, there's desires on my heart. I need this in my life. This is a sincere desire of my heart. Now would be the time to pray for it. Let me invite you to come. Maybe tonight would be the night to say, God, please, breathe upon our body, our this local church, new life. Please, God, bring forth laborers. Please, God, encourage my brother. He's gone away from the Lord. Please bring him back, I pray. God, I pray for my lost loved one, that person that's not saved. Many have come. How about you tonight? I want to challenge you, even as this invitation, do not step out of abiding when the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray right now, leading you to confess, leading you to get right, perhaps. Whatever it may be, abide in the Lord. Ask, and it shall be given unto you.
Many are praying. The invitation is very, very much still open. But I'm going to let Pastor come and lead as he sees fit as a spiritual leader of this church. And I trust the Lord will guide his heart. But believe it, my friends. Believe that God answers prayer.